Hi everyone, this is Matt Price, host of Dynasty Game Night. My co-host John Bosch and I created this podcast for one reason, to focus on fun. After all, fun is the reason we all started playing fantasy football in the first place. I love games of all sorts, card games, board games, video games, really any kind of game you can think of. So one day, John and I decided it was time for a podcast where we just play games. You might learn something along the way, but you won't find much hard-hitting analysis here. Check out all the other incredible podcasts DLF has to offer for that sort of thing. On Dynasty Game Night, our primary focus is to entertain. So if you like playing games or watching game shows, this might just be the podcast for you. We'd love for you to give it a listen and play along with the contestants and maybe even win a chance to be on the show.
Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, no. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Picking my nose, don't really know if I like that. Picking their brains, got different lanes, but I like that. Picking these guys, all of these times, all of these nice stats. Picking apart, the film is an art, always a fight. Back and forth, there is no order, they disorder more and more. Because the players ain't no older, they some hoarders or some mortars. Dropping bombs without no borders, they got that I like Mordor. Peak grinding numbers like molars, I don't know anymore. I am at a crossroads. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, no. Pete enumerates the plays, they're analytical. Chicken or crow, crossing the road, go. Clicking a poll, Twitter is gold, player unfolds, so. Jake on the table and Nate on the plays, no.
Hello and welcome back to the Dynasty Crossroads. My name's Peter Howard at PA Howdy on Twitter. I'm here as I am most weeks by my co-host Jake Anderson at Jake Anderson FF on Twitter, otherwise known as NFL Draft Talker. Hey Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Pete. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. We're in the middle of a startup draft right now for the Trade Addicts Leagues. We're in Trade Addicts 7, and we thought for this episode, especially before the draft, instead of talking about, you know, anything relevant for the draft, we'd actually just talk about our league. We figured, who all's in this league, Jake? I'm not even sure. I know obviously the Trade Addict podcast guys are in there, Brian and Russ.
And then it's our good friend Bobby Koch at Wrecked Fantasy. Clint Fowell at Fantasy, DHH, or Pastor, I think it is. Doug Eddy and Tyler Gunther are sharing a team, the DHH crew. And then we have Memphis from the Dynasty Warzone podcast. Our good buddy Gabe Gearing from The Open Bar. Casey Kasem is here. Kev Wheeler, Michael Sipes, you said Riley, and me and you.
It's a pretty good group.
It's a nice little, it is a good group.
It's a really fun group, I'll say that. I'm having a lot of fun in there. And we'll treat out Bobby Koch at Rec Fantasy has already tweeted out the link to the startup so people can follow along. We'll try and tweet that out as well as all their handles. I was wondering if any team stuck out to you other than your own, and we'll get to that monster in a second, but who else seems to be doing pretty well or went a different way than you would?
I mean, it's pretty early on. I mean, we're at the end of round 6 right now, I think, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, most people's teams are pretty good. I mean, I would say the teams that are standing out for me, I know, I think Bobby's doing a really good job. You know, I've made a bunch of trades. I've traded up. I've traded down. I made a pretty big jump up and gave Bobby some nice value where he got to, just format-wise, this is 12 teams. This is PPR. This is Superflex. This is tight end premium where the tight ends get 1.75. So that definitely played a factor on these tight ends getting drafted, where they did. Was there any particular teams that stood out to you? I thought Pastor, Clint.
Yeah, I think he's sneaky. I think DHH Pastor, Clint's team really stood out to me. He did a similar move to what you did at the start, but they're kind of going unnoticed because you've been so active in the trades. But Pastor also managed to get 3 picks in the top 2. You also managed to stack an extra 2021st, I think, quietly. And while everyone's trying to sell their 2021st, he actually picked one up. Have you ever seen this many trades going on early? We're just into round six, like Jake said, and we've had 15 trades. That's over my average in a startup.
This has to be the most I've seen in a... But I haven't done a snake in quite a while either, you know? It's been a while. It's probably been a couple of years since I did a startup snake draft, so...
Just to start from the beginning, the league starts off with people obviously trading back in the first round. The group chat started with everyone offering to trade back, so I actually didn't think we were going to see many of those trades, because like Bobby said, if everyone wants to trade back, then no one wants to trade back, because there's no one to trade up. But you and DHH Pastor, as I mentioned, found a way of doing it. So did you just send a lot of offers out, or did you get offered that?
No, I sent a bunch of offers out. So like I got the 102. I didn't want that early of a pick. I knew Saquon was going to go 101, and I figured that there might be a little market for Pat Mahomes. He didn't end up going to. I was just hoping to move down, and like one of my favorite strategies in the first round, if you have like a top five pick, I think it's a great situation, especially in Superflex, where you know like Pat Mahomes at least is going to go. I think it's a great strategy, like if you can trade down, stay in the first round, and then pick up an additional like third or fourth rounder for free. I think that's like the best move you can make.
You traded it with Casey Kasem, who is just fantastic. She's wonderful and a whole lot of fun. She's almost more fun in a group chat than on Twitter, which I didn't think was possible. And she's actually got a lot of flack for the trade she's made early here. And she's even called herself out. But looking at the trades that happened, I actually don't think she made a bad trade. She traded up to get Zeke, and that's not a bad value. That's not a bad guy to target in Dynasty. I think what happened here is that you got two. You, like you said, you traded back to the six, and then you traded back again to 109. And that created so much value for you later that you've been able to kind of move up and down the draft so easily that your name comes up every three messages. Jake made another trade. Jake's made another trade. And I think that's what happened. I don't think Casey's made a bad trade here, either of them. I think it's just that you've managed to create so much value for yourself and name's been attached to it.
Like for me, it was like those first at least 10 players were basically in a similar tier for me. And it was tough because McCaffrey was on the board, or actually I think I made that trade before I was actually on the clock at 106. And McCaffrey was still on the board, and like I would have taken McCaffrey and I would have been really excited about it. So I was a little at the time where that happened, where McCaffrey actually fell to 106, I was actually a little bit disappointed. But then I traded back to 109 and I got Davante Adams. So I felt fine with that.
Do you think that the way the draft felt, it's pushed you into wide receivers more than you're generally comfortable with? Because your team right now looks very wide receiver friendly right now.
It is, but that was also my strategy going into it. Unless a running back fell. Like I was all in. If I stayed at 102, I was either going to take McCaffrey or Zeke, actually. I would have taken a running back there. So the board did kind of fall to me in a sense where I felt like wide receiver was the value. But what pushed it over the charts was the settings for this league is it's super flex. You can start anywhere from 1 to 6 running backs, 1 to 6 wide receivers, or 1 to 6 tight ends. So in a format like that where you only have to start one running back, for me, like as the board fell, like the tie breaks went to the wide receivers just because they are more stable. And I can, if I can start 5 or 6 wide receivers, that's great. It's a combination of the way the board fell and kind of my initial strategy going into it.
So the other move that you made that I wanted to talk about a little bit was you took George Kittle in the second round. That was actually, I like to think, purely on the advice of Ryan McDowell. You made the pick live on air on the Open Bar, which is a live podcast that records on YouTube and also gets released like a regular podcast. But Ryan was in the group chat and he suggested George Kittle, and then you took George Kittle. So I'm just saying you got advice from Ryan McDowell, and that's not a bad place to get advice from. But yeah, can you talk a little bit about that? Like how tight end premium or that scoring really affected you? But that to me has never been enough to jump into the top two rounds. So
yeah, I mean, like I discussed on the Open Bar, I was really stuck because it was between, Aaron Rodgers, who would have been on off the board for quarterback 7, which I thought it was a crazy value. Julio Jones was there, who's one of my favorite guys, and George Kittle was there. So I was stuck, and honestly, I wanted some advice, and you know, I'm not afraid to like bounce things off people too, because anybody that podcasts or writes or whatever, it's like none of us are perfect. None of us feel like we're above reaching out to people. Another part of my strategy, because we have so many experienced players, I feel like in these type of leagues, quarterbacks do fall a little bit farther than maybe some other startups. I mean, the fact that, you know, Rodgers was there in the late second, almost third round, I think. Also, Connor made a great point on the open bar. Rodgers had a down year last year. There's a lot of stuff going on this offseason that's, you know, kind of demeaning him, his character. If he has another down year and he's like 34, 35 years old, his value really could plummet.
Yeah, I was wondering, because the thoughts crossed my mind, where it's a trade addicts league and we've had 15 trades in the first 6 rounds. 4 of them you've been a part of, by the way. It feels like you've been a part of every one, but it's actually less than 30%. Kittle has major value, especially where people do value that scoring system. And I thought maybe that influenced your decision. Like, I was expecting you to take Ingram maybe at some point, because he just did continue to fall. Even I considered him at a few spots.
The scoring was the reason I took Kittle there. If it was straight PPR, there's no way I would have taken him in the second round.
Cool.
I also thought more tight ends would have gone by now, though, too. You know?
Yeah, me too. Like I said about Ingram, and I think Howard's still on the board. And
Howard's still on the board, which I'm honestly shocked about.
He's ranked ahead of Ingram by a lot of people, and he's still on the board. What I was actually going to say is, me being me, I made a sheet. Obviously, so I've got a lot of draft picks, and I'm comparing it to DLF positional ADP based on April from Ryan McDowell, funnily enough. QB is actually the most overdrafted position for us right now. If I do a sum calculation on how much higher we've taken quarterback in positional ADP in our draft compared to DLF ADP, we're actually 17 spots ahead of positional ADP, 4 spots ahead for wide receiver ADP, only 2 spots ahead for tight end ADP, and we're right on the money with running back overall. But if I filter by the biggest values, so anyone that's been selected 3 or more spots above their DLF ADP, there's only 3 players that come up, and that's Christian McCaffrey. He went as running back 5, and he's currently ranked as the running back 2 by DLF ADP. James Conner went as running back 12, and he's currently ranked as running back 9 based on DLF ADP. And Dak Prescott is the only other player that's been drafted ahead of his positional ADP by 3 or more spots. He's actually been drafted as the quarterback 14 when he's actually valued as a quarterback 10 according to DLF ADP.
You know, I love James Conner. But again, I would think that the scoring settings, as far as lineup restrictions or whatever, you know, only having to start one running back would definitely play a role in devaluing running backs a little bit. But I guess that has nothing to do with the differentiation between the ADP and where he actually got drafted. So I would imagine that James Conner valuation is kind of all over the place. Like, some people see him as probably like RB7 or 6, and some people see him as probably like RB16. So I think he's probably a little bit all over the board. I think people are buying into Jalen Samuels getting some more of that backfield. So, I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, it strikes me that Dak Prescott being drafted below his positional ADP, I actually think he went a little early. I was expecting him to fall a little more. And I blame you. I think you trading back in for Kyler Murray there started a QB run just a little early. But he still went 4 spots, again, below where his positional ADP is. And that kind of stuck out to me a little bit. And the fact he's the only one being drafted more than 3 spots outside of his positional ADP, we're following along with expected value more than I thought, considering some players seem to be going early. Prospects being drafted behind their positional ADP according to DLF. So these are prospects that are being drafted higher than DLF currently ranks them, in other words. Again, three spots or more. David Johnson was actually my fault. I drafted him five spots ahead of where he is in DLF ADP. He's running back 11 in April for DLF.
And that's crazy.
I know, right?
That's insane.
I drafted him as a running back 6, and if I didn't take him, I'm pretty sure he still would have been the running back 6.
I remember cursing you in the chat when you took him because I really thought he was going to fall to me. And that's... that would have been a value where I would have taken a running back there in the second round.
Yeah, I figured that's the main reason I took him.
Like, I definitely would have taken him over George Kittle, for sure.
Wheeler actually took Matt Ryan three spots ahead of where he is in DLF ADP as a quarterback 10. Mitch Trubisky got drafted five spots ahead of his DLF ADP. He's quarterback 16. According to DLF, and we took him as the quarterback 11. Darius Geis with three spots ahead as running back 13. So we actually drafted him outside the top 12, and that sticks out to me a little bit, considering the hype around him last year, or maybe I'm wrong on that.
I think it's a little high.
Okay.
Honestly, that's. I mean, for me, if I wasn't going to get one of those top, and Joe Mixon, David Johnson were kind of like that tier for me. Like, if one of those guys would have fell to the second round, I would have been all over him.
I tell you what, running back value is something I've increasingly have trouble wrapping my head around. Like, one question I have is, Todd Gurley has dropped to the end of the first round in a lot of drafts, and that's because he missed a couple of games in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
But Dalvin Cook, his value has remained steady, despite the fact his main positive is he managed to play a couple of games in 2018. So...
he's young. He's younger.
Is he that much?
He's a couple years younger, you know?
All right. It's just the age, I think.
But listen, I'm right there with you. I think the Gurley fall is overstated. It's overblown. What, didn't Bobby take him at like 104?
Yep.
So, I mean, Bobby took him over Christian McCaffrey, which I thought was a little bit surprising, but I think that's where you should, right where he should be.
I think that's, you know, right,
I think
though,
Gurley,
right?
I think Gurley should still be in the top five running backs. Like, for sure.
I think overall ADP, Todd Gurley's fallen behind a number of wide receivers,
mm-hmm.
And that's why he's falling more than anything else. So we feel pretty comfortable with where he is in running back ranks, but the running back ranks have fallen. I think that's kind of interesting. Where was I? Phillip Rivers got drafted five spots ahead, and I think this is a product, this is where Superflex starts to kick in, right? We're drafting them a little early so we don't get sniped.
Well, the people that wait on quarterbacks, and this is you, Sipes, who took Phillip, like, waited for that second quarterback, me trading up for Kyler, you know, like, you do end up reaching a little bit on value.
Yeah.
You do get into a sticky situation where you're like, I do need two starting quarterbacks that I somewhat can rely on.
That's exactly, someone tried to call me out my Superflex ranks the other day, and we didn't get into the conversation because the podcast had to end. But that's basically my answer for why I do it. I rank the top quarterbacks low, and then I rank the mid quarterbacks higher. Like, I'll reach for those guys. And my general idea is I'd rather pass on some prospects I think can do it for a chance at the prospects that I know can do it.
Yes.
Than the other way around.
That's very true. Yep. For me, like, when you take quarterback really early and, like, you're really strong, I think it is very stable for your team. But I also think it's like, kind of a boring build where...
right.
You're gonna make the playoffs, but I think it's also gonna be in a position where your other positional assets are gonna be difficult for you to, like, win the league.
I think you're more, it's not that it's likely, like, players that do that. Riley Bymaster has taken Mahomes and Baker, and it's hard to criticize that, but I do think because of the unknown in there compared to you know, the running backs and wide receivers you can have, you're opening yourself up to being in rebuild year two a lot more,
right,
than if you don't. Okay, moving down the list, Allen Robinson went five spots ahead of DLF ADP, still as wide receiver 20, which still seems like a great value there by Gabe from the open buyer, actually. I took, again, where I was reaching along with FF Blitz there, I took Derek Carr five spots ahead of his ADP as a quarterback 22. Then Riley Bymaster, which is one that's a little bit, it's not a surprise to me, but I guess I knew Riley was higher than Cortland Sutton, but, like, it's one I didn't expect. He took Cortland Sutton as wide receiver 25 when he's wide receiver 30 according to ADP right now. So those are all the guys that we have reached for. And again, none of them more than five spots. A testament to the work Ryan puts into DLF ADP. Mm-hmm. It's very solid.
And the quality of drafters he does get.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he advertises for that fairly regularly. They're really good practice. I join everyone he asks me to do.
It's also a great way to not get in a bunch of startups.
Right. Yeah.
Like, honestly, it really has more this year more than ever, and I know it's early in the off season, but it really has helped me, does help you not just like join leagues for no reason, because I think it is important to be like in quality leagues with people that you like, with good commissioning, with good league settings. It kind of sucks to join a league just because you have an itch and you're not really valuing, you're not taking it all into consideration at the time.
We've had three rookie picks go, and mm-hmm. you have two of them. So I thought maybe I'd point out where they're going, because I've been asked before, like, where do you draft rookie picks in a startup if you're doing it right now? Well, in this Superflex tight end premium league, the 101 went to Jake at pick 4.08.
I'm probably as high on Kyler as anybody in our particular league, I would imagine.
Right.
You know, on the open bar, I said I'd probably put him at, like, quarterback 12 in Dynasty. And honestly, after I thought about it, I think I actually could put him up a little bit higher.
But I would say I was listening to the Roto... it was the Roto World. They had fantasy football outsiders on there, and they were saying one red flag for Kyler Murray is that he was phenomenal in college, but where he really only played one statistically significant year... They say they weight experience in very heavily to their quarterback model. He and Haskins both only have one significant college career. And while they both grade out very well in that year, that experience is a fairly rough group in the NFL, but maybe not as good because he's like the prettiest girl in the bar right now. I'm still really high on him.
I'll bet on that outlier.
Exactly. You know.
He was behind Baker Mayfield. It's kind of the Miles Sanders argument there, you know.
I thought I'd mention it. I got to make you sweat somehow. Rookie pick 1.02 also went to Jake. So that's not going to be N'Keal Harry. This is going to be the one draft where N'Keal Harry doesn't go 101 or 102.
Not necessarily.
Whatever.
Not necessarily. Whatever.
You can't gaslight us, Jake.
I'm not going to take Metcalf just because I have him as my 101 right now. I figured this is just
another trade.
In the future. I generally don't. Yeah, that's...
You're going to come honestly, ask for my soul. I know.
Honestly, I was looking at these assets and I said... I think that's really good value for 102 rookie pick, regardless.
It went two rounds later at 6.09, so almost exactly two rounds later, just in case anyone's trying to get an idea of the value. And obviously you're not going to give your picks away, but just before you say, is tight end, like, I'm seriously considering, especially in tight end premium, even me, I'm like, I don't know, maybe they're mid-round picks right now.
I think in this format, they're definitely not at 102.
Like, you're not saying it can't happen, right?
I actually was thinking about this earlier today, but no, I don't think so. But I think they're definitely mid-round selections in this format.
And just a quick FYI, Jake actually released his pre-draft rookie ranks overall and by position, so check out his Twitter feed for that. Rookie pick 1.03 went to Russ and Brian from, again, the Trade Addicts podcast guys, the guys running this league. They took that pick in the seventh round, so about half a round later. So once that 102 goes off the board, 103 followed pretty soon after that. And I thought that was interesting. We haven't seen 104 go off the board yet, but those are the first three picks, and they've all gone in the first seven rounds.
I'd like to just get your thoughts on like your approach to.
Well, I guess I should mention, you know, what I've done. I'm hiding my shame right now, not talking about my roster a little bit, but no, I'm actually pretty happy with the way it's gone. I think the draft started to go away from me, but like I really did expect to be able to get Breeze and. Dak Prescott, which has been my favorite quarterback start. I think the draft sped up a little bit. You traded in for Murray and it started a 5 QB a pick run. And so after looking at it pretty hard, what I decided to do is when other people are clearly dominating the draft and they've added extra value to their team, one of my thoughts is I can do one or two things. They can either chase them and try to compete with that. My pick was a little later. I was picking at 1.08. Or I can do the opposite. And just a little bit or a lot, depending on how the draft's going, my thought is I can bet against the idea that we know what's going to happen. So I still want solid players that I know are good. But instead of taking players at or above value because I think they're good, why don't I make a few crazy bets that aren't so crazy because we don't get everything right. Now that, like, if I just take the good picks, my team's going to be really good, but there's no chance I didn't think there was a chance I was going to outkick my coverage. The only way to outkick my coverage is to get the things we don't expect. And so what I started to do after that first 5-pick run is started to trade back. Now, one of the difficulties I'm having in this league is I don't spam offers, and you really should. I just said that to someone on Twitter. If you want an offer, you should go make trade offers.
You shouldn't wait.
Yeah. I don't do very well at that. I'm much more targeted in trades. Like, I want a player, I go feel out the owner, or just ask outright, here's value, or here's more than what I think is a value, will you give this guy to me? And it's the same with offers I get. If you hit my value line, like I've mentioned before, it's just kind of an accept. I don't think I'm the best trader in the world. I don't. I think I'm solid, and sometimes I get lucky. Mostly when people don't accept my trade offers. So the start of my draft is pretty straightforward. I went with Odell Beckham at 1.08, which I thought was really solid. At 2.05, I got David Johnson. At 3.08, I took Amari Cooper. That was a really tough choice. I was stuck between him, Brandon Cooks. I took Amari Cooper because I just thought that Amari Cooper might carry more value. I honestly did factor that in than Brandon Cooks. I've had a few offers for Cooks on my other teams, and they always seem to be a little bit low. And in a trade addicts league, I thought
he's continuously undervalued. Exactly.
So coming into the fourth round, I just wanted to take the guy I'd passed on, which was Adam Thielen. And I also knew you were coming up. I actually mentioned to someone, like, I thought you were going to trade in to get, I thought that's where you were going to use some of your cap. I was pretty certain you knew that I wasn't going to let him get back to you if you didn't. And I followed through on that promise. So I just took Adam Thielen. And so in the fifth round, that's when that QB run hit, and I started to try and shake it up a little bit. So I actually traded back from the fifth round and got some extra picks later. I didn't like how far back I had to trade back, but that's one of the things. I just decided to take that gamble and skip all the way to 6.05, but luckily enough, the QB run stopped. And so when it came back to me, I overdrafted, but only slightly, by one or two spots, actually. Drew Brees, just because there was a top 12 quarterback still on the board, and I got him at quarterback, I think it was like 20, and that's just the fear of his age, I guess. But yeah, I got Drew Brees as quarterback 21. And then I actually auto-drafted my next...
Well, you pre-drafted.
Yeah,
you
I pre-drafted Derek Carr. I actually got a very decent trade offer from Riley Bymaster for that pick, but because I had pre-draft selected, I didn't get the chance to take that. And that's how my draft has gone so far. A lot fewer players than yours, obviously. You've been doing so good. But that's how the draft went.
Yeah, the only thing... I think you did a really good job. The only thing is, you probably could have waited on Derek Carr.
I think so.
I think everyone is so down on him. Knowing that I like him too, but I do have two quarterbacks, I probably wouldn't have taken him. You know, like, so that's the only thing. I think you could have probably waited on Derek Carr, but that's nitpicking a little bit.
No, I completely agree, and I noticed it. Like I said, I just set my pre-draft because I was going to have to step away from a while, and I didn't want to hold the league up. But again, and this isn't necessarily something I would ever tell someone to do, but I wanted that comfort. Like, I'm going to have to take shots on tight end late, just because that's generally my strategy. I'm going to have to compile a running back too. I don't want to have to be thinking about finding my quarterback too as well as we reach the mid-range of the draft.
Right. I have a question for you, because this is what I thought you maybe could have done, is taking the best rookie pick there.
Yeah.
And then dangled that for a better quarterback, you know, after the draft or something like that. But
yeah, definitely. The other thing that actually came into my head more, like, that's a really good trader's thought, I guess. But I think I'm stronger in a draft than I am in trades. I just do. And one of the thoughts that always sticks out to me is quarterbacks are never cheaper than in the startup. I forget who said it first, but I know Zach Reed from the Dynasty Dummies and also John Bosch from Everywhere, specifically Dynasty Game Night, DLF podcast, check that one out. Both of them has mentioned it, and that was in my head. Like, I just actually got talking to our friend Zynga about Mariota, who's ranked below these guys.
That's actually who I thought you were probably
I was thinking
take
of
there.
Him, and my thought was, because I was talking to Zynga, and we were talking about trade calculator values, and I was asking him, because I was plugging in trades and trying to see what I thought, and Mariota and Carr were both coming up as worth less than the 1.5. And I was like, in a super flex, in two QB leagues, don't we say that you should, like, a first round pick for a starting quarterback is always pretty good, especially a mid round pick? And he said, and he's right, compared to everything else I've checked it up against, that that's not true, that Mariota and Carr should be under that. But for me, what I thought of, again, more of a drafter than a trader, was, would I trade either of them for Drew Locke? And the answer was just flat out no. Like, right, no. Right, and right. You're not probably not getting Haskins or Murray after
it.
The three. You're right from a trading perspective. I could probably, that would have been the way to go. But where I guess where I'm more draft orientated, and I never really knew that. Like, this draft's been really interesting.
No, I think that's a good perspective. But I was like, and you never know how teams are going to value quarterbacks in Superflex leagues. Because some leagues...
I hate to fall back on one of your sayings, but at the end of the day, if I fall back on something, it's going to be how I value them, not how I think I can get other people to value them. Because I can That's rely fair. On me. Well, not a lot. I want to base it on what my decision is.
Well,
not someone else.
You're the wet blanket. You're the wet blanket,
too.
Right?
That too. I'm just the wet blanket in fantasy football.
I would say you're a little bit more risk adverse than I am.
Especially in those type of scenarios, right? I take risks with guys who are less likely to hit. And so, right? I'm taking the shots on Michael Campanaro and Justin Watson. Like,
grown a little bit from where I used to be. Like, I used to really not care about risk. And I think I have grown, like, a decent amount from that perspective. But I'm still kind of, like, I like to be a little bit risky, you know? Like, I don't mind risking a little bit for a chance at something really great.
So, we have to get out of here for you, Jake. I'm doing it for you. And just kind of as an out, something I was thinking on was, do you think talking to me at all or this podcast has affected who you put where in your ranking? Like, I think I would be, you know, standing on a hill on Butler and Metcalf a little bit more if I hadn't been talking to you so often. So I was just...
I think one of the biggest things that you and this podcast and just in general, like, I think it is because of you that I've opened up my eyes a little bit as far as just allowing different... I don't know. I think it's definitely helped me evolve, especially a ranker, you know? Right. Next week, just to get this out of the way... I'm going to be doing a bunch of podcasts for draft week. I'm going to go on, I think it's going to be through the Saturday to Sunday feed with Paul Perdicchese. We're going to do a post draft show on Thursday night, and then we're going to all meet. I think you're coming too for the Fantasy Joe's drafter party, which is just going to be an extension of that and talk about these guys from got drafted in the first round and probably discuss some players that are going to get drafted in day two. From a fantasy perspective. So that should be a bunch of fun. And then I think we're doing the Dynasty Dummies live draft show on Friday night to talk about, you know, round one, and then also kind of live stream and talk about these rookies that are going off the board and getting our instant reactions. Because I always think that's, like, really interesting. You know, like, what is everyone's initial reaction to that landing spot and that pick? And, like, I just love this time of year, and I love the draft. Like, I'm so pumped for it. Like, but, like, this is what we're here for.
You're at the Dynasty Crossroads that film and analytics create. The Dynasty Crossroads that film and analytics create. Crunches numbers and Jake just grinds that tape. It's the Dynasty Crossroads where film is everything. The Dynasty Crossroads where numbers are the king. There may not be consensus, but we'll give you everything.
Oh, O.J. Howard just went by Pastor. It's okay, my brain doesn't work. That's fine.
I'm hiding my shame right now. Whatever.
That bastard.
Because I can rely on me. Well, not a lot.
That bastard.
You're not saying it can't happen. Whatever.
It's okay, my brain doesn't work. That's fine.
There may not be consensus, but we'll give you everything.
I'll bet on that outlier. That bastard.